This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
We're back. We're going to jump into our next guest just before the top of the hour.
And he's actually on the phone. We're not going to have to pull that Rush Limbaugh card after all. We're going to just blow him off.
Hey, Arcadi, how you doing in there?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Good to have you on board.
Yeah, same here. So we're going to talk about some serious stuff, but I will probably mix it with some humor.
Oh, we know you will. You always do.
We wouldn't call you if you didn't mix it with some humor. It's a prerequisite.
He fits right in on this show.
So, yeah, he does. He fits right in.
You can't be on the show unless you're funny.
Exactly. And if you can't be funny, at least give us some breaks so we can add some funny.
I got to tell you, though, Arcadi, you've got a hard act to follow.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, so for the people who don't know you and don't know you've been on here before, give people a little short... little short bio on yourself.
My short bio, I was born in Ukraine, graduated with a master's degree in engineering from Kyiv National University of Technology and Design. Shortly after, was drafted in the Soviet Army. Less than a year, was sent to officer school, graduated as lieutenant. Then came out, worked for experimental design group in Ukraine, emigrated. And arrived in this wonderful country of ours in 79, worked for Halliburton, Bechtel, was a senior engineer for Bechtel, but my first job in the United States, I was pumping gas at the gas station for $2.15 an hour because I didn't speak much English. And then I met my wonderful wife. I opened my own business in 82, been self-employed for 28 years, have three daughters, six grandchildren. I'm a planning commissioner of my city, and what else do you want to know about me?
I want to know why you guys call it Ukraine and we call it the Ukraine. That's what I want to know. Is it like
Ukraine?
The
I don't know. Maybe my ignorance in English grammar.
No, like the highways. Like in Southern California, they call it the five. But up here, we just call it...
Yeah, they
like
do.
I-5.
I-5, yeah. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, so see, people who come from like countries like that, they call it just, you know, the country. And we call it the something. I just think that's interesting.
Well,
yeah.
No,
I've got...
Just pondering.
I've got a question.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, Elizabeth's off her medication today. Hold on.
She's got to jump on the 44 in a moment.
Elizabeth's got to jump on the question here.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Can you quickly break down for folks the geography of the Soviet Union? Because my sister-in-law comes from Kazakhstan, which is not actually Russia, and there's a real heavy Asian influence on that continent. So can you kind of... give us a little visual picture
of
how that...
Russia spreads, as you all know, from west to east, covers about 11 time zones. It's has all kinds of different ethnicities and languages, but on the Eastern Europe, that's where I came from, there are several... countries that kind of lined up from north to south. It's Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, that's bordering Poland, and also countries like Sweden and other Scandinavian nations. Then you go down a little bit and you have Bulgaria and Albania, and then Ukraine. Ukraine is... a very large republic. It's about twice the size of France. And then you have Black Sea on the bottom. That's where the bottom of the Ukraine is, and also Russian territory. Going a little bit east, you will see Caucasus, and that's where famous Chechnya and Dagestan and Ossetia and Georgia are located. Kazakhstan a little bit to the farther east, Uzbekistan, those are Muslim countries. Then you go a little bit farther out and you bordering with Mongolia, and then you end up with the Sakhalin Islands and Kamchatka Peninsula, and that's where the geography lesson ends.
Okay.
Unless you want some more details.
Because I remember my sister-in-law telling me that in the summers her family would go to the Black Sea to vacation.
Yes, that's Black Sea was a very, very popular vacation spot. Black Sea is a subtropical climate, kind of humid, and it's the waters are very friendly. There is no sharks. Black Sea is a very popular spot even today. In fact, Sochi, where the Olympic Games would be held 2 years from now, Winter Olympic Games, are in the Black Sea. And it's, I remember vacationing there being a kid. So that's very, very good area to vacation if you have money.
Now, is there an Asian influence on part of the Russian, part of the Soviet Union continent?
Well, Asian influence are enormously big in Russia. In fact, Russia is not a European nor Asian nation. It's a hybrid.
Hey.
And it started with the invasion of Genghis Khan in 1300s. And Genghis Khan spread over southern Russia from east to west, practically covering enormous territories. And because they were nomadic, not many written documents left from that era. So Genghis Khan came from the small, modest country called Mongolia, and they were Mongols. And the invasion superseded, as far as magnitude, Alexander the Great voyages before the birth of Christ. But it's basically put to a halt development of art and sciences, and Russia became kind of a country in the abyss because nothing was happening. The word slay, Slav, comes from the old Latin word slave, because all the people in the territories that were conquered by Mongols were paying a duty of 10% of their income. And we as Americans looking at 10% tax and saying, well, it's not so bad, isn't it? But at that time, it was enormous. And that's, they ruled Russia with incredible cruelty, Asian cruelty, and they were very, very ruthless rulers for 300 years. When they were, Mongols were destroyed by Timur armies, and then gradually the Russians became expansionist again. Ivan the Terrible invaded Chechnya. There was a lot of tumultuous times. And then Peter the Great came, who was also a very bloody ruler, but he at least realized that in order for the country to survive, it has to be modernized. And he broke the window into Europe. So that's where the influence of European culture and music and art started to come to Russia, with the science and with the technology and building of the Russian Navy and all, and industry. So you have a hybrid. The Russian character is has a dual, in eternal duality of it. Because on one hand, you are kind of Asian, on the other hand, you are somewhat European. But the European influence was always very, very high during 18th, 19th centuries. The Russian court, it was very fashionable to speak French as a main language. Russian language wasn't considered the proper to address the nobility. They were basically snobs.
Hey, Arkady, on that note, stop it, snobs, because that's fun. We've got to take a quick 5-minute news break. We're going to come back, and then we really are going to talk about the old Federal Reserve there. That's it. I knew it was on the tip of my tongue. We'll be right back with you. KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
More of We the People next at KCNR Shasta Reading.
We're back. Welcome to We the People Radio. You're joining Elizabeth, Aaron, and Bob, and I think we're going to cut straight to a fire update. Correct, Bob?
Yes, Elizabeth, thank you. There are some developments that occurred overnight and this morning with the ongoing fires in the North State, and one in particular that is of concern to our local listeners. The growing fire has now scorched 7,000 acres in eastern Shasta County, forcing residents to evacuate from Shingletown and Manton and causing law enforcement to shut down Highway 44. Witnesses say the Ponderosa fire, which was initially reported near Battle Creek, about 2 miles from Manton in Tehama County, around 11 o'clock yesterday morning, exploded as it raced northeast, producing a ballooning cloud of smoke as the fire sped across forest land and homesteads. Now, late last night, reportedly, the blaze had destroyed 4 structures. Fire investigators have not yet issued a cause for the fire. Highway 44 was closed between the Viola and Lake McCumber areas. One report said the fire started in a canyon between the town and Highway 36. Highway 44 remains shut down at last report. And we'll have additional details as they become available. The PG&E turned off power lines leading to Mineral, by the way, supplying around 1,000 customers with power. They did that around 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So we'll keep an eye on the Ponderosa fire and others. There are 16 fires that started around the North State yesterday. And
lightning, right?
Majority of them were lightning caused, yes. Again, we'll get back to our guests now in the regular programming here on We the People, but we are keeping an eye on the situation. So, Elizabeth and Aaron, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. We should have Bill doing that out there. He's not doing anything. We've had him gas up the car and do some other stuff. Let's get him on the fire.
You've already got 1 foot out the door, don't you? You've got somewhere you need to be right at 10 o'clock.
No, I can't be there at 10 o'clock. It's an hour and a half away.
But you've got to leave at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I have to leave after, of course.
Well, we like having you hang out here for an hour or so.
No, we like loitering after the show, but it ain't happening today.
All right.
Hey, that's funny. All right, Arkady? Are you still in there? Hello?
Arkady?
That's a no. Did we delete him? No, not delete. What is it called? Drop him. Sorry, I have to get my radio talk.
Let's let's try it now.
Oh, there he is. He was trapped. He was trapped.
Well, I was trapped?
Yeah, you were trapped in the world between here and there, the one where we can't hear you.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
And I didn't have anything on my phone. It was just a static.
Oh, that's always nice. We were giving an update on the fire. We had a big fire up here.
He was trapped in the casing in our phone system.
Through the miracle of technology. Okay, so now that we have thoroughly, enshrined you as an expert in Russian geography and other stuff,
How about let's skip over to the Federal Reserve, because you do quite a bit of speaking about that. And obviously, when you came to this country, you were as good a student of this country as you were of your home country.
Trying to.
So you've got, you know, you got 45 minutes. Go ahead and dismantle the Federal Reserve for us.
45 minutes. Okay. Well,
we'll be taking a few breaks, too, just because we know you can't use up all the time.
Okay. Federal Reserve is the most, to me, is the most fascinating organization because of its history, its inception, and how it's all started in this country. And I truly believe, after researching this subject since 1998 as a hobby, I believe that all our problems, and I underlined all of them, stem from this organization. Not only because we gave away the constitutional right of issuing legal tender, which is money, to a private banking cabal, but because It's an organization that was created under deceit, and actually, greatest, I would say, one of the greatest frauds were committed in 1913 and before. Let me go a little bit back, and I will tell you that last year, in the French city of Livry, where the Chamber of Measures and Weights of France is situated, there is a little glass dome under which is the metal cylinder that an exact replica of the measure of mass we call kilo or kilogram. And about a year ago, the entire community of measures and weights came into a frenzy because the weight of that man-made object is measured every day, and then they realized that the object lost some weight. Several atoms left the body, and therefore it's no longer representation of an exact measure of mass. So that, after I read about it, the New York Star, the newspaper, point a very interesting question. What will happen if we'll float the kilo? And it's brought some memories from my childhood. My childhood friend's mother was working at the grocery store, and someday when we were there late, and he showed me a scale. You have that, the grocery store scale, you have a metal shelf, and then you have a dial. But underneath of that shelf was a big magnet attached to the shelf underneath. What I realized that every time a customer buying a kilo of meat or a pound of meat or any kind of quantity that's measured by weight, he receives that kilo minus the weight of that magnet. And that's pretty much how the Federal Reserve is stealing our property. So let's go back in history a little bit, and I will briefly go through money and banking. Banks in the past were actually warehouses. They were contained coins, gold and silver coins, or any object of value that the depositor would place in the vault. Usually those bankers were also goldsmiths, because goldsmiths had the best safes. And that's how it started. It was not different from the grain elevator. The grain elevator contained grain that you deposit for a time being, and then coins are deposited in the vaults, and you received a piece of paper from the goldsmith that we called a deposit receipt. It's like you deposited the chair in the warehouse. You know that your coins are safe, and you were paying a nominal fee for storage to the banker or to the goldsmith. Then the goldsmiths realized that only 10-20% of people are withdrawing their money, and they could do something with this money, even though it wasn't legal until 1640 because of the Peel's Act that bankers decided that when you deposit the money in the bank, the money is not yours. It's basically a bank's reserve, and they can lend it out. But in those days, in the good old days, the days of the ancient people in Christ and money changers by the walls of the David's Temple, the monies were yours. But what happened was that they said, okay, if we have, let's say, 100 coins in the vault, and only 20% can be withdrawn in any given year, which means that 80% we can lend out and make money on the interest. In those years, they called it rent. You rent somebody else's money without that somebody else's knowledge to a third party and collect interest. That sums up pretty much the operations of Federal Reserve, because the banks always try to inflate their deposit receipts. They're trying to inflate money that is not theirs, and they're making about 100% or more in interest as a result. So eventually, the Rothschild House came into being, and they devised, they were ingenious people, Rothschilds, the father and the sons, and they devised the international system of banking. In other words, it was cumbersome to deliver gold in coins or carry it, so they would have that receipt, that you can have that deposit receipt, and you will go to one of the Rothschild banks in Europe, and you will be able to withdraw the money in specie, so meaning the money in gold and silver. So the ability to inflate the deposit, we called a fractured reserve banking. Fractured reserve banking, because when you bank 100% reserve, it means that you deposit 100 coins, they're there, and you withdraw 100 coins. Nothing wrong with that system. Something happened. The mischief of money is happening when the banks are allowed to lend money, and that's where the ability or desire to inflate comes from. And the Federal Reserve was created because Rothschild said that you give me control of the nation's money and I don't care who writes the laws. So there's five reasons. And by the way, mind you, our Federal Reserve system is not the first central bank that we had in this country. In this country, Federal Reserve is the bank number four. And the first central bank were chartered in 1781, and it's called Bank of North America, for 20 years charter. And that charter expired, and the Congress granted another charter to a second bank in 1791. Then it's ended in 1811. The third bank, the most famous bank, is the bank that was headed by the Nicholas Biddle, and from the history lessons you remember probably the Biddle War, between Nicholas Biddle and the Andrew Jackson, who was our president. I admired that guy immensely for his guts. And Biddle lost. And Biddle said that to the president that if you will destroy the central bank, I will destroy this country. They didn't have any quibbles of destruction of the nation, but it didn't happen. They suffocated the central bank by cutting off the funding and precluding central bankers create money. And this institution we call Federal Reserve System today was organized under cloud of secrecy because they knew that what they were doing was unconstitutional and criminal. But let me mention who are those people who are the heroes that, quote-unquote, that created our Federal Reserve System that we have today.
Okay, hold that thought. We have to take a swift commercial break, or we'll have to have them all at once, in which case it's just too long. We're going to come right back. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
All the gold in California is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills in somebody else's name. So if you're dreaming about
not singing.
California. I'm too busy reading about the demise of California.
Come on, you're not singing with me.
We're back with We the People Radio.
And only I was singing.
I know, I'm sorry. I was reading the internet and the demise of the state of California.
But we already knew that. That's why we're playing the song. Tell them where all the money is.
Well, it's hard to say because there isn't any.
Yeah, but see, okay, she had an article up about the tax revenues, sales tax revenue being down.
33.5%.
Yeah, imagine that. And then
shocking.
During the news, I was reading about the state Parks and Recreation Department. Apparently, they routinely searched for ways to spend extra money each June despite the facing threat of park closures and foregoing upkeep.
Yeah.
That explains some things.
Anybody who thinks that those in bureaucracies and government care about you, think again.
Well, nobody's everybody, but you know
I
what
know
I'm
it,
saying.
But you know.
In this particular you know case, what I mean. Unfortunately, it proves the rule.
So, welcome back to
What's
our
What's the old saying? Power corrupts.
Well, and all those nice people at the, you know, that are working at the park or whatever, and they've got to face the public every day, and everybody looks at them like, "Yeah, it was you." They're like, "No, I was just here taking tickets, telling you about the history."
Yeah,
that's like blaming the guy behind the counter at AMPM for the BP oil spill.
I bet they did blame him though.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
I'm sure they did. Man, that's horrible. Yeah. So anyway. So we've discovered that the gold is not in our pockets, and actually, well, there is gold. I was going to say there is no gold, but there is gold. It just isn't doing what it used to. Arcadi,
well,
come back.
Yes,
we've got five or something minutes. You're going to tell us about some good guys. Talk to us about good guys.
Yes, the good guys. Who the guys were, and why they did what they did. They committed a fraud in their home. And basically, what they tried to do in 1900s, we had a flourishing banking industry, and 52% of non-chartered banks, meaning that the banks that were not chartered by government, they were mom-and-pop small banks, they provided excellent service to businesses and to private individuals, and they took 72% of the banking business. It didn't sit well with the big boys like J.P. Morgan and the Rockefellers and others. And then they wanted to create a central bank and model it after the German central bank because that would give them an incredible control and an incredible, unbelievable profits. But major reason for central bank creation in the United States is the control. It's the control and power. Here's five reasons. Number one, stop the growing competition.
obtained the franchise to create money out of nothing for the purpose of lending. Get, number three, get control of reserves of all banks. Number four, get the taxpayer to pick up the cartel's inevitable losses. And number five, convince the Congress that the purpose was to protect the public. That's for five reasons, and they concocted those in the island in Georgia called Jekyll Island, and it's a famous meeting of this seven crooks at Jekyll Island in 1910 for the purpose of creating this conspiracy to create a central bank and to defraud American people and basically take our government under their ironclad control. Who those people are, and I would like you to pay attention to that right from the get-go. The central federal government of our country and the bankers were in cahoots from the beginning. Now, the Magnificent Seven, as I call them, who were in control of our banks, let me tell you who they are. They were Nelson Aldrich. Nelson Aldrich was a senior senator, majority whip, was a Republican, believe it or not. And then you have Abram Piat Andrew, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. They're the people that met at Jekyll Island. Frank Vanderlip, President, National City Bank of New York. Henry Davidson, senior partner of J.P. Morgan & Company. Charles Norton, president, First National Bank of New York. And my favorite, Benny Strong. Benjamin Strong, lieutenant of J.P. Morgan, because he was the first conductor of the orchestra. He was the first board head of the newly created Federal Reserve, and he was personally conducting the music of our Great Depression. Paul Warburg of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, who was a German and was brought from Germany because of his expertise in central banking. They met at Jekyll Island as an exclusive club belonging to J.P. Morgan interests. They were meeting in total secrecy. The entire service crew was changed with new people. They were only addressed by the first name, and the official reason for them being there was a hunting expedition. So the hunting was behind closed doors, and they concocted those five reasons, and they concocted the way to create the central bank and fool the Congress and the American people. Now, what exactly did they do? First of all, Nelson Aldrich, who was an incredibly bad man, even though he was a Republican, he is the one who wrote the verbiage of the 17th Amendment, by the way. But I will get back to the 17th Amendment of the Constitution. But he and others concocted this scenario that they will have a bill in the Senate and the Congress called the Aldrich Bill. The Aldrich Bill would be portrayed as a banker's bill. And because the public didn't like the bankers and didn't trust them for very good reasons, they created another bill that was exactly the same as the Aldrich Bill, but they called it an anti-banking bill. And because our representatives at that time didn't read our laws or propositions or legislative proposals like they don't do it today, they were easily fooled. And the public, because the newspapers were bought and paid for, created articles telling how bad the Aldrich Bill was and how good the other one was. So the other one passed and signed into law by one of the worst, I would say not one, just the worst piece of human excrement that ever occupied the White House was
Did you just say
Woodrow
human
Wilson.
Excrement?
in 23rd of December of 1913. Now, the reason I called Woodrow Wilson a worst piece of human excrement is because
that's the S word for those of you without an accent.
Because Woodrow Wilson did a few things, and Woodrow Wilson was an academician. He was a professor of Princeton. He was anti-constitutionalist, because if you read his book called the title escapes me, but you can find him. You will read the book and you will see what kind of a disdain that man had for our Constitution. Woodrow Wilson also had his hand bloodied because he got us into the World War One, as a result of Lusitania sinking, where he knew that Lusitania was about to be sunk and did nothing. And that's how we got into World War One, because the newly created bank needed profits. And how else they could maximize their profits by financing the war machine. So Woodrow Wilson was a very bigoted man, didn't like blacks. He separated our every department, segregated people in every government department and armed forces. And we're not talking about distant past. We're talking about 100 years back. So Woodrow Wilson also had a stroke, not soon enough, at this the second term. And he failed to inform his vice president that he is incapacitated. And the country was under the tutelage of his wife and a crony called Edward Mandel House, who was Woodrow Wilson's puppeteer. So he was a very bad guy, and he did enormous damage to our country. In fact, he admitted in 1919, before he died, that I am a sad man today because I certainly destroyed my country. But it was a little bit too late, 6 years too late, admitting that he made a major blunder, but he was making blunders all his life. So the bank came into existence. So now I need to tell you what exactly they do that made me and making me so angry, and how this little box of pollution sprockets really work. Are we up for commercial, or I can continue?
You are reading my mind. Are you?
Okay.
You get the channeling award today. All right, we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Is that the zombies?
No, that's the.
Is it about zombies?
No, it's the Federal Reserve. It's all sorts of stuff. It's the them that we talk about.
The zombies.
I told Bob, I'm like, I love them. Not them, but them, you know. Such a good song for everything.
If you're asking about the singer, it's Carly Simon.
That was Carly Simon?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that from junior high.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Now everyone knows I'm 50 years old. Like, I care.
Oh, you're a kid.
Well, I act like one sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. So we're back. So we thought them would be a good song for, you know, Federal Reserve chat and bank chat.
Yeah. So, amazingly enough, when you learn about Federal Reserve, and the more I learn about it, it's a very simple type of fraud that is committed and legalized by our government, i.e. Congress. And the interesting things about our...
Hey, your phone's ringing.
Yeah, that's my wife. I was trying to use her to get back to you because I thought that I was disconnected when I was trapped in this.
Oh, when you were trapped in the other place by them? Yes.
Yes, yes. So, basically, the banking system is not that complicated. They're trying to make it complex, and especially in the schools where professors draw this big fancy charts and stuff. But when you start to sift through that, fraud is very simple. And how they do it is mind-boggling because it's legalized. And let me go back to 1913 because 1913 was a very bad year for our nation. What the crooks did, they somehow were able to push two constitutional amendments. Now, one was done in February and one was done in March of 1913, and it's not the coincidence that it did with amended the Constitution at that time, because without those two amendments, the Federal Reserve Act wouldn't be possible. We're talking about 16th Amendment that was ratified under very, very cloudy circumstances. A lot of states didn't ratify it. But still, if you ask anybody who works for IRS, they will tell you that the reason they can legally collect taxes from the earnings of the individual is because of the 16th Amendment. I took the time and I went to congressional archives and I read debates on the floor regarding 16th Amendment, and there is nothing of the sort was discussed. What the gentlemen and ladies, they were not ladies at that time, these guys were discussing, is the capital gains on the profit of the stock in individual hands. So at that time, they established that it's constitutional to tax capital gain on the stock. That's all. Nothing to do with personal income taxes. They never came into play on the floor of the Senate. And yet, Nelson Aldrich wrote the verbiage of the 16th Amendment, and there is three words from any and all sources, which was a fraud, and that's how they got around it. So that's, you see, when you tax an individual income, God gave us a limited time on this earth. And when the government, and you, by the way, you paid by the hour or by weekly or monthly, whatever. When the government takes part of that money that you exchange your part of your life for, they indeed take part of your life. That's what we call servitude. And that's why founding fathers were not even considering personal income taxes, and the income for the government was derived from different sources. And the only legal taxes in this country are imposed excise taxes and fee that import-export fees that are charged by the government. But let me tell you how the government was founded in the beginning. They did print money. They called greenbacks, and greenbacks were redeemable in species, meaning that you could take the greenback to the bank and withdraw gold and silver coins. They were printing money. One of the biggest proponents of the printing of paper money was Benjamin Franklin. And printing money, meaning that they were got away from money that were printed by the Central Bank of England at that time. And it was called representation without taxation. What they did when the government was in control of printing money,
they would land it to business as an individual and charge nominal interest. I think at that time they charged 5%. And that's what funded our government. Not the way they turned it around in 1913. Now, in 1913, they did another thing they called 17th Amendment. And 17th Amendment basically pulled the teeth out of the power of the states, because before, the senators were appointed by their state legislature, and they were sent to Washington to represent the state. 17th Amendment changed that. And after 1913, the senators were elected by the public of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in my opinion, was the end of our representative republic, and we just sunk ourselves into populist democracy that eventually basically becoming a tyranny. So the way they did this, because let's say if they wouldn't do 17th Amendment, 17th Amendment was the most damaging, because of 17th Amendment they could pull through the Federal Reserve Act. Because let's say if Mrs. Brewer of Arizona, a lady that I really adore, would call Johnny McCain and say, hey, Johnny, I don't want that legislation to be passed, and I would like you to vote against it. And if John McCain would tell Mrs. Brewer, I'm going to vote my conscience, he will be packing the bags next day. That's how simply the senator could be replaced by the state legislature before 1913. Everything has changed because of those two amendments, and the result, in December of 23rd, the Federal Reserve Act became law. So let me tell you how this system works in comparison with the system that we had in time of Benjamin Franklin.
Okay, how about we do this? How about we see what sort of musical interlude Bob has in store for us? We do that actually at the at the proper time. Ooh, it's one of my favorites.
Oh, I love this song.
I like Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, coming right at you here from KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I love this song.
Sing along. No, at the right time.
Oh. I'm going to put my ears back on.
She takes her headphones off and starts singing. What the heck? Bob turns his microphone off.
Money, a getaway, a very good job with the pain, you're okay. Money, it's a gas.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Late last night, I had a crazy dream. I met a man who invented a money machine. He said, I know things are tight and times are tough, but he'd give me the machine if I give you up. I just looked him in the eye and I said, no thanks, honey, your love's better than money in the bank.
That's awesome. Who was it?
Yeah, who was that?
That's John Anderson of Seminole Wind fame.
Really?
Really.
That's a good one.
Another shocker.
Bob was on a quest for Federal Reserve music.
And he pulled it off beautifully.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. You are welcome.
All right, we have just slightly over 10 minutes left in We the People this week. I don't know what we're doing next week because my calendar's out.
In the car.
No, it's out there on that desk. I can see it from here.
In another land.
Land far, far away. So, Mr. Arkady Fakhtorovich, we thank you for coming on the program. And we thought we'll do that now. See, we'll do that now so when we run out of time, we can just say bye.
Okay, let me gallop through, but let me explain how this Federal Reserve works. Let's say, by the way,
in order for somebody to understand the system of our money today, which I consider this totally absurd, but that's the way they do it. And the system is working because there is a partnership between the private banking cartel and our Congress. And don't let any congressman or senator to fool you that they are for the fiscal responsibility, because they are like drunken pigs. They are addicted to money and power. And the private banking cartel provides money at the whims of Congress. So how they do it? Let's say Congress needs $1 billion today. So what they do, they draw fancy pieces of papers with some ornaments in the perimeter, with some fancy signatures and stamps, and they call it a bond. The bond itself is a worthless piece of paper. See, in order for me to tell you, Elizabeth, that you owe me $10, I need to create a liability on another side for you to owe me those $10. Otherwise, you will roll your eyes and never call me back.
So, you know me so well.
So how we do that? So let's say we have this $1 billion worth of worthless paper called the bond. How we create the money out of that? So we card that pile of paper to a bond dealer, let's say the biggest, Goldman Sachs, and we say, hey, Goldman, sell these bonds. Usually Goldman will not be able to sell bonds. They sell maybe a portion of it or not at all, but it doesn't matter. Then they card this same bond to a Federal Reserve, and Federal Reserve all of a sudden see this worthless paper as an asset. And the reason they see it as an asset, because the government is borrowing it, and because the government has the power to tax, they see it as an asset. And they make an electronic entry in the computer. By the way, the absurdity of this thing is that both parties of the transaction on either side of the bar don't have any money, period. If you and I would do this, we will go to jail for a lifetime. But because Congress needs money, it's legal. So the Congress wants $1 billion. The Treasury Department issued those worthless bonds. The Federal Reserve seeing it as a money, and they make an entry into a government account of $1 billion. Voila. Now, the billions of dollars is borrowed by the United States government. And then this entry becomes a government deposit. Then the government start paying whatever they have to pay, and the money goes into commercial banks, and they becoming commercial deposits. Because of the reserve ratio, let me quickly tell you, there's three tricks that the Federal Reserve has in their disposal. It's a discount window. That's what they do when the bank, Federal Reserve Bank clients or prime banks needs cash. They give them money like an electronic entry, nothing of value, at the discount. That's a discount window. The second one is the reserve ratio that most of us are familiar with, where the bank's supposed to hold 10% of assets in their reserves. They don't, but it's like a smokescreen. And then the most lucrative is sale and purchase of assets on the open market. Now, let me concentrate on the reserve ratio. Let's say if reserve ratio is 1 to 10, when the federal government borrowed $1 billion and $1 billion start to trickle to the federal, through the Federal Reserve into commercial banks, the banks, commercial banks, are also one to inflate. And they inflate it at the same rate. To make a long story short, in 28 days, that billion of dollars that's went into government becoming 1 to 10. It becomes $10 billion that's flooding the market. What it does, it deflates our currency. It makes it less worthy of anything. And what it does, that gives the Federal Reserve a privilege of charging interest on every unit of currency in our nation. That's what we call usury. Some people confuse usury with excess of interest. It's not true. Usury is when you charge interest on something that doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
When the banker creates money out of thin air with a stroke of pen and charges interest in infinity, that's as usurious as you can get. And they reaped an incredible profit, but it's not profits. They're not interested in profits. They interest in money as a control of us, people. And that's how it's done, actually. In order to create a dollar, one has to borrow it, and that's how pathetic it is. So when people in Washington standing with the straight faces and tell us that they would like to reduce our dependency and would like to get rid of our debt, they're kidding themselves and they're kidding us. Because if with the magic wand, the federal debt, total debt that God knows how many trillions of dollars will disappear, we will not have a single unit of currency because every current unit of currency belongs to the Federal Reserve. It goes back into the vault of Federal Reserve. There will not be any money in circulation. That's how bad the situation is. And that's pretty much the whole story. The Wizard of Oz is basically a very ugly old man behind the curtain who's pulling the strings. And now, since I have very little time, let me tell you how we can break away and be free. What we have to do and what Andrew Jackson did with the bank number 3. Number 1, we have to repeal the legal tender laws. Freeze the present supply of Federal Reserve notes, and it's doable. Define real dollar in terms of precious metal content, because our system was based on silver standard, not the gold standard. It's misnomer. The gold standard was a backup standard. Establish gold as auxiliary monetary service, reserve. Restore free coinage at the U.S. Mint. Pay off national debt with Federal Reserve notes because they're becoming very cheap. Pledge the government's hoard of gold and silver. So, in other words, we have to assess how much, if any, gold or silver we have in Fort Knox or any other storage facilities by the government, if the government didn't steal it already. And that's how we will determine
or
what
give it
kind
to the
of
Chinese.
A backing we have in gold or silver. And then determine the number of all Federal Reserve notes, retire Federal Reserve notes, convert all contracts based on Federal Reserve notes, issue silver certificates, abolish the Federal Reserve system, introduce free banking, and reduce the size and scope of government. But from myself, I can tell you that in order for us to break free, we have to get ourselves out of United Nations and get the United Nations out of our country. That's pretty much it. I hope I had...
Look at you. Did you have like a stopwatch on that? That was like an Olympic. That was like an Olympic record right there. You're getting really good at this, and you even stuck your dismount. That was fantastic because we still have a minute.
Yeah,
we have a minute and a half
and
left to just waste.
Time.
So we can keep saying thank you over and over.
Oh, thank you! And by the way, if you have any questions or if I have time, I'll be happy to entertain. Because I was galloping my horse to get all this thing in, and I even didn't dismount yet.
You know, it just takes too much time. You might as well stay on it. You probably have to run and give the message again. You know, all this stuff, I mean, at the end of the day, we had somebody yesterday at an event we did, and she said, well, you know, it just doesn't matter, you know, if people vote in November, it doesn't matter who gets elected, and it's...
Yeah, it does.
It's like, you know, after all the things we've talked about this morning, I hope at the very, very least... This screams out to people, you know, make some calls, do something about getting people to the polls in November, because it is going to make a difference.
Yes, and I would like to remind people that it was done by Andrew Jackson. It was done, and it was simple,
And as long as we have a clear understanding what needs to be done, because we the people have to do it.
Absolutely.
And in order for us to restore this nation, we have to abolish 16th, 17th Amendment and Federal Reserve Act. And then we'll have a greatest country the way it used to be.
Thank you, so, Arkwati.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Thanks for listening,
thank
folks.
You.
Stay cool down there in Los Banos. See you next week, guys.